Good morning.
This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning. My name is Bill Koenig, Chairman of the Outreach Committee, filling in for Sheila Feidelberg, a great lady who recently passed. Thank you for calling in to the first in a series of seven informative talks prepared by Monsignor William Fedowski and Ray LaRose for the Member Outreach Committee. This morning, we are fortunate to have Father David Scoblo, CRM. Father is a graduate of Georgetown Law School and practiced law in New York for 34 years before entering the seminary in 2012. He was ordained in 2015 and invested as a chaplain in the Order of Malta that same year. He is currently a parochial vicar at Our Lady of Peace in Fords, New Jersey. Welcome, Father.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me today. Shall we begin with a prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant, we pray, that our observance of Lent may prepare us to worthily embrace the paschal mystery of your passion, death, and resurrection, so that we might proclaim your salvation with joyful praise. Grant to the righteous who obey and follow you the rewards of their merits, and to sinners, grant forgiveness of their sins. Grant us the grace to be merciful, even as we receive mercy. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the opening words of his bull declaring this extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy, which began in December, Pope Francis calls Jesus Christ the very face of the Father's mercy. In Jesus, Pope Francis notes, the Father's mercy has become living and visible. By his words, in his actions, and in his entire person, Jesus reveals the mercy of God. The Holy Father goes on to observe that when faced with the gravity of sin, God responds with the fullness of mercy. Mercy will always be greater than sin, and God always stands ready to forgive the sinner. As the Church prays in one of its most ancient collects of the Mass, God reveals his power above all in his mercy and in his forgiveness, and his mercy endures forever. The Church encourages us during this year of mercy in particular to seek God's mercy in the sacrament of reconciliation and by accessing the Church's treasury of grace by means of indulgences, especially those indulgences associated with the year of mercy, and also by generously participating in the devotional life of the Church and in the use of its sacramentals. But we learn from Scripture that mercy is a two-way street. In the Beatitudes, Jesus teaches that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And later, during that same Sermon on the Mount, he taught his disciples to pray. And the prayer he gave us, the Lord's Prayer, included a petition that God forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Pope Francis tells us that Jesus teaches that mercy is not only an action of the Father. Mercy has, in fact, become a criterion for ascertaining those who are the true children of the Father. We, as children of God, are called to show mercy, because mercy has first been shown to us. Pope Francis says that the pardoning of offenses and the extension of forgiveness is the clearest expression of merciful love. So much so that it has become a Christian imperative from which we may not excuse ourselves. Just as God is merciful, so we are called to be merciful to each other. Three ways of extending God's mercy suggest themselves. They are forgiveness, compassion, and prayer. During this special Lent that falls within the year of mercy, we are called to be instruments of forgiveness, just as we seek forgiveness from Christ. We are called not only to seek our own reconciliation with God and with the Church, but also to seek reconciliation with any friends or family members or work colleagues for from whom we have been estranged, against whom we hold a grudge, or might hold a grudge against us. This may require an act of humility, but that act of humility is also an act of mercy. And we are called on to be compassionate, with hands-on compassion, a genuine joining with the suffering of others and seeking to alleviate that suffering wherever we can, starting with those closest to us. As members of the Order of Malta, we are called to the special charism that we pray in our daily prayer of the Order, that of practicing charity toward our neighbors, especially the poor and the sick. By extending hands-on help, visiting the sick, visiting shut-ins, visiting the elderly, and also by giving generously to those charities that provide support to the poor and to the sick, by being generous with those who work for us, and by not always seeking to squeeze every nickel out of those who struggle to make ends meet. We are also called to prayer, to pray for those who are less fortunate, to pray for the sick and the elderly, and for those who care for them, to pray for those who have fallen away from the practice of the faith, to pray for sinners, and yes, to pray for our enemies. And not to be forgotten, we are called to pray for the dead. In particular, the special indulgences attached to this year of mercy are not reserved for our own benefit. These indulgences may be received multiple times, and while they may not be applied to other living people, they can most gratefully and generously be applied to the souls in purgatory. There is a tendency nowadays, unfortunately encouraged by some funeral homilies and practices, to presumptuously believe that all of our dearly beloved are safely in heaven. We certainly hope that this is the case, but it is by no means a foregone conclusion. So prayers for the dead are always appropriate and encouraged, and they never go to waste. Over the centuries, the Church has compiled checklists of ways in which we can extend mercy. They are called the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And it does us well to periodically remind ourselves of what these lists include. The seven corporal works of mercy are to feed the hungry, for one out of eight persons in the world are undernourished. To give drink to the thirsty, over 10% of the world lacks access to safe water. To clothe the naked, can we clear out our closets of unused clothing? To shelter the homeless, maybe by being lenient on renters who have fallen on hard times, and by supporting fair housing. To visit the sick, to visit hospitals and nursing homes, but also to visit shut-ins and the elderly in their homes, by checking in on our elderly friends and relatives, even if it's only a quick hello on the telephone. To ransom the captive, can we help those who are caught in a vicious spiral of debt to free themselves from the shackles of usury? And to bury the dead, do we ensure that the dying receive the last sacraments? Do we see to it that our family members are buried in a manner consistent with Catholic teaching? And the seven spiritual works of mercy are to instruct the ignorant. Do we give our generous support to our Catholic schools? For our schools should be a responsibility of the entire Church, not only the responsibility of the parents of students. To counsel the doubtful. Do we speak the truths of the Catholic Church courageously and with conviction? To admonish sinners, do we support the moral teachings of the Catholic Church as set forth in the Catechism? And most especially, do we lead by our example? To bear wrongs patiently, are we patient with our family, friends, and work colleagues? Patience seems to be a gift in short supply. To forgive offenses willingly, do we extend forgiveness in the same measure as we expect to receive it? To comfort the afflicted, are we patient with and compassionate toward those who are suffering in spirit, mind, or body. To pray for the living and the dead. Do we extend our prayers beyond our own needs, to pray frequently and generously for our family and our friends, and yes, for our enemies, both living and dead. During every Mass, as the priest or the deacon mixes water with the wine, he prays that we may come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. When we extend mercy, we share in the divinity of Christ. We share in Jesus' lifelong project to do the will of his Father. We become instruments of God's mercy. This call to extend mercy is not a matter of a one-time calling for Lent or for this year of mercy. It is a call to conversion that calls for us, as followers of Christ, to make the extension of mercy a part of our lives. This year of mercy is not all about pilgrimages and walking through holy doors, however admirable those devotions are. We are also called both to seek mercy and to extend mercy. Mercy is a two-way street. Please prayerfully consider what you can do to make this truly a year of mercy by extending your mercy to others, following in the footsteps of the Son, following the will of the Father. As we approach the end of Lent, there is still time to share in God's mercy by dispensing mercy ourselves, by becoming a participant ourselves in the mission of Christ to show the face of the Father's mercy. I want to thank you for your very, very kind attention. May Almighty God extend his generous blessings abundantly upon you and your families. God bless.
Thank you, Father. Please remember to dial in on April the 6th, the first Wednesday of each month. Our next topic will be Easter with Father Joseph Johnson. Thank you again. Peace.